Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 167, episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Thursday, January 14th, 2021, a cool 6 days until January 20th. It is looking as though the president is going to make it to the end of his term, because Moscow Mitch is not a... doesn't want to have to go to work early. Doesn't want to work that hard, so he's going to wait until Biden is the president to allow the Senate to hear the president's second impeachment. That is what we're hearing as of right now, but it sounds like he might impeach him. We'll get into all that. But first, let me tell you that my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. How many Bajas you have to blast before you pee like adventure golf? Drink too much, your heart explodes, because Baja's got to blast. Red, white, green, or blue, shotgun your Mountain Dew, PepsiCo, oh, oh, oh. If it's Baja Blast, hey, that's good do. That is courtesy of me, since we mentioned that artist yesterday. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
FBI came and caught me red-handed, breaking down the Capitol door. Picture this, we were all barefaced, stealing from the speaker's floor. How could I forget that I had streamed it all to IG? All this time, we were standing by, they never took their eyes off me.
Oh my God, Duke stormed the Capitol.
Okay, I was just giving it the whole, just the Rick Rock part. Almost came with Shaggy. But thank you so much to Johnny Davis, the compulsive punster, for that It Wasn't Me inspired AK.
That was beautiful.
Yeah,
Also nice that Kuro Kuro Bonito AKA was also inspired by the fact that there's new Baja Blast flavors coming.
Wait, what?
Yeah, they're doing a... it's like Baja Flash and Baja and Melon Blast or something.
We have to actually discuss this properly as a show. So I think we need to put space in that for the third act because I also want
to
hear our guests too. I feel like this is something that can't just be one of those things we run.
Yeah, this is important
news.
Yeah. We are thrilled to be joined to have her hot takes on Baja Blast and possibly other things. She is the hilarious, the talented, the brilliant Danielle Radford!
Hey.
Hi, hello. Happy to be here. Very happy to talk about the blasts that Baja made.
Yes. I didn't realize. I didn't think I was tagged in that news as much. except for that one tweet.
What are the new flavors? Do we know?
Everybody said, what is it? Baja Be Thy Blast. Yes. There was like that one tweet everybody was tagging us in.
Yeah, I got that about 30 times. That has become part of my, what people feel obligated to share with me. And I appreciate it. I like it every time. So shout out to y'all. But there is a melon flavor and a pineapple flavor coming, I believe. Let's see here. Baja Punch and Baja Flash. Baja Punch is fruit punch flavored. Baja Flash is pineapple coconut. And I'm assuming they'll have extra sugar and extra caffeine like a regular Baja Blast.
Okay. Do we like this co-opting of the Baja name to introduce these other flavors? I feel like Baja Blast, like, it doesn't need its own expanded universe of flavors.
Right.
Like, it's its own thing.
Yeah. It does seem like Stolen Valor a little bit,
yeah,
where they're just trying to, you know, catch some glow off of the...
Your Baja Blast? What's your MOS?
Exactly.
That's what somebody really asking somebody served. But
It's weird to me that they are dropping this before, like, they could make a huge event out of just making Baja Blast available places that aren't Taco Bell, like in stores. I mentioned that they had like the Baja Blast Zero that was in stores, but they didn't really drop the Baja Classic on us. So it seems like a missed opportunity. I'm wondering if it has something to do with their agreement with Taco Bell. But
I think you take the pineapple, you mix it with the coconut, you put it in the caffeine, and then you put that shit in Costco where we can all just be getting messed up on the dankest, most hype pina coladas you've ever had.
Ooh,
yeah. Okay. A little of that Kirkland signature brand tequila. Do they?
Yes.
Do they even offer that?
Oh, yeah. There's Kirkland brand there. There's Kirkland brand fucking insulin, probably, at this point. Sadly.
I mean,
we are headed for that. Amazon is now going to be a healthcare company. So,
hey, Costco is where you can just a point of order. If you do, in most states, check your state, but in a lot of states, you don't have to have a Costco card to get your meds there. And generic meds are so much cheaper at Costco than they are in other places. Not your doctor, just a person that takes medication. That's real.
Wow.
Check your state, but in a lot of states, if you go in and you say, I'm just going to the pharmacy, go to the pharmacy and you get the meds at a good price. Mm. Generics.
Boom. And you can, at Walmart or Ralph's, you can say, I'm here to go to the pharmacy, and they'll send you around back. And then you can get not great deals, but the doctors are really easy.
It might be the same dude that sent you back there.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like, well, hold on. Give me a head start so I can put my lab coat on it. Seems like I was looking back here. Hold on. Wait 10 seconds.
All right. Danielle, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're going to talk about just how the GOP, we're checking in with them, how they're doing psychologically with this just drastic moment of cognitive dissonance. We'll look at a symptom of that, Steve Ducey, how he's doing. We will look at what the actual Capitol looks like right now. It looks like a war zone. We'll check in with the Parler story. People are talking about how, especially on the right, they're acting like Parler is causing the...
Hold on. I don't know why the Ghanaian pallbearer track just started blasting. I was on... sorry, y'all. You can keep that in. I don't know why the fuck that went down.
I was like, damn, Miles is hyped for this story.
I'm like, yeah, bro. Just so you know, bro, get the Ghanaian pallbearer music out. I don't know what the fuck that started playing off of. I think I'm being something. I don't know.
I mean, maybe we are playing the pallbearer music for Parler. You know?
Yeah, that was apropos. So, Parler.
But they are being used as the martyr. They've been banned. It is First Amendment violations. And our writer JM did some research and found that they really went under mostly because of incompetence and just being a bad business, a poorly executed website. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Harry Styles and Jason Sudeikis.
What's going on? I'm curious.
Jason Sudeikis has challenged him to a duel, and they're going to be shooting at each other at dawn.
Bridgerton style.
Yeah. I finally finished Bridgerton.
Talk about a show all about pulling out and like being disrespectful with your nut.
Yeah. Just like, and just a minute and a half, like showing sex to completion of a minute and a half, and then like pulling out. It's like, yo, what is this?
Why? It's right. Violent pulling out.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, ah.
Come on. As he rolls then, like, over. Crushing your nut in your hand. Like, it's like, oh, never get this shit because I have daddy issues. Like, okay, pal. Sweet. But yeah, I never thought a whole show would hinge on me being like, when's he going to nut in her? When's he going to nut in her? Like, truly. I was like, this show is wild because I'm over here with her match. Like, when is he going to shoot up the club? What the fuck is wrong with him?
Yo, that is legitimately like the whole second half of the first season is, and then like the the resolution is like, he did it.
She's like, yeah. And that's how we know he no longer cares about his father. What?
Right.
Oh, you're like, then most motherfuckers out here hate their dads if this is the benchmark we're using.
We'll also talk about the Lord of the Rings series on Amazon if we have time. Another series that is supposedly going to hinge mostly on pulling out. Before we get to any of that, Danielle, we'd like to ask our guests to tell us something from their search history.
Okay, so let me pull this up. The something from my search history, it used to be, why do my cats hate me? And now it's, why do my cats stare at me?
Uh-huh. Mm.
So over the quarantine, mama was lonely and there were two little babies that needed a home and they're like these bonded twins. Uh-huh. And I call them, they're little ginger tabby babies. They're dumb as fucking rocks and, they're just stupid, but there's Ripley and then there's Hudson. And obviously Ripley is the smarter, more brave one. And Hudson is a destructive little bastard. They still do, but not as much anymore, like hide every time they saw me. And I was like, damn, like, am I that scary? And I was reading about it and they were like, if your cat is hiding from you, it's because you're loud and you're scary and you're huge. And I'm like, well, damn, you ain't even met me. Right. stop being so on the nose. And so, but it's just like they've been through some stuff because they're fosters and I don't know what their history is, but I'm assuming it's not great. But they're warming up to me now. So like this morning, I woke up to two little orange heads like peeking over my bed, just fucking staring at me.
So they're warming up. It's just slowly.
You're just got to be patient. They're warming up. They have a new game where if I go feed them, they'll follow me into the kitchen and see which one can get closer before they like eat and run away from me. It's kind of cute.
I was going to say that's kind of nice that they are showing you that respect because every time I read about cat behavior, it's always very like status based, and the things that cats do to me are always like they're domming me. They're like just like walking up to me and rubbing on me, which I'm told is them being like, I own this bitch. You guys can just, everybody can walk
lay
away.
Off.
Yeah.
My scent is on this man now. Yeah. I have two cats too. I adopted a bonded pair of cats a few years ago, and it was kind of interesting. Like in the beginning, they were like they were always fucking with each other. Like they were just always laying with each other. And like when I would try and pet them, they're like, okay, thank you, fool. Where's the food? Enough of that. And it's not like, I'm not joking, till maybe 3 years later that I started seeing like, you know, the kind of shit that you see on Reddit. And you're like, how come my cats don't do that shit? Like try and sit on my desk or like, you know, interrupt me or like just jump on my lap. And it took 3 years for that to happen. So it warmed my heart for that to finally come around.
And that was because you started killing birds and laying them before your cats,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Like the only thing that they respect. Is,
yeah. 100%.
Just a couple squirrels just laying out.
Yeah. And I mean, I think I was a little off-putting because I found a very cool like animatronic cat suit to wear. but I realized it was very intimidating. Yeah. Well, okay, sure. I paid Rick Baker's FX house for some spare material they had to make it myself. But
terrifying.
Yes. Let's just say it's better to just come as you are and let them come to you on their own time, I guess.
Yeah. It was interesting because the movie Cats, people remarked on the lack of asshole, but your cat suit is actually mostly asshole.
Yeah, it is. Like, very, very little cat.
Little cat, mostly cat asshole.
Release Miles asshole cut.
Danielle, what is something you think is underrated?
You know what? I know we're a couple weeks from Christmas, but you know what was really nice? Receiving sheets and I got some sheets and I got some linens, some towels and some washcloths and some socks. And you know, when you're a kid, ooh, you're always like, ah, oh, those are the worst. But as an adult, I'm like, that this is fucking kick ass. Yeah. I need more sheets. Like, I need them towels. I can throw my other ones away or like use them as, you cut them up and use them as like rags and stuff. Like, it was great. So yeah, that's something that I think is underrated. I think it's underrated when people give you the things that you actually need as opposed to the stuff that you want. Cause you know what, you guys, I don't need any more pop figures. I know everyone knows that I like nerdy stuff. And the easy right. thing is to just send somebody like a pop figure or like a bobblehead. What I need are the things that adults have.
Right.
Please
right.
send me adult things.
Please send me that. Books on financial literacy. anything besides anything these toys.
Yeah, but not prosperity gospel. That has been tried no. and failed upon me.
Oh, oh, you hate to see it.
You hate to. I love to see it go. That yeah. was pretty great.
All right, I mean, yeah, I hate to see somebody fall for it. I mean,
yeah. Ooh, ooh, boy. But yeah, so that's my. It was just it's so nice. I have like new sheets now, and they're so comfy. And yeah. and
do you do that thing where like you're a you know, I've done the thing where my towels are like just beyond you. Like it's, they should have been thrown away. This was before yeah. Her Majesty and I lived together and I had just jank towels that I was bringing to the relationship. And she's like, what is this? And I'm like, oh, these are my towels. And then she's like, don't you buy new ones? And in my mind, I have these moments where I'm like on a website, like, you know what? I need fucking towels, man. Like, I don't care. Like it's stupid. And then I'm like, God damn, they cost half. No, fuck that. I don't need a fucking towel. And that continues to the point I'm just using some just super thin rag and calling it a bath towel.
Yeah. Oh, since I used to on. Do that. Yeah. My mom saw my apartment in LA one time and was like, oh no, these are now all rags that you use. Right. And now I send you nice. Well, because for a while, you know, she would send me that and I'd be like, I don't need those things. Like I need clothes. I need, you know, mm-hmm. gift certificates so I can whatever. Look, I am in the house. Towels are way more important to me than dresses at this point.
Absolutely. Mm. That's like, it's funny how being there just really makes like actually the things that you would have put off as like a thing you needed to spend money on for your home as now is actually being the most important thing. Cause there's no going out.
Yeah.
So I'm
no
like
escape.
Slippers. I'm like, maybe I'm gonna get slippers, like good yeah. house shoes now. And I've never looked back.
That's my next yeah. step. I want slippers and I want a robe, buddy.
Yep. Oh, I got two robes. Pocket. I have, look, I've fully invested in my body senses in this pandemic. I have now I don't even use a towel when I get out the shower. I just go straight into a terry cloth robe.
Really?
And that absorb me and then get damn. My other shit done. I'm so dry. I'm not like shivering. And then I have like a nice, you know, fleece, just warm robe to vibe in when I'm not. It's just, you know, you got to have context robes.
I'm looking up terry cloth robes right now because that sounds luxurious.
Oh, and look, and for people who are dabbling the robe market, if you're serious, get the full length shit. Don't get the shit that stops above your knees, because when you have the shit that goes to your ankles, I'm talking full body coverage.
Yeah.
Okay.
So mine, just think about as you've that. Seen at some recordings, mine go real high. Like I like, well, it. Yeah. Like yeah, hip it's, huggers.
It's a crop top. You keep saying yeah. is a bath robe.
You bring up a good point of like a cardinal sin of gift giving that I think a lot of people fall into is they take the one thing that they know about the person or like, you know, and just give them the first thing that occurs to them about that. Like for me, it's like he works in comedy and then they'll get like the first book in the comedy section or something like that. Or
right.
like, you know, I've done it with my nephews. I've like gotten them a toy that they're like, yeah, dude, that was like the first toy he bought when he got interested in dinosaurs or whatever.
Right, right, right.
But yeah, like just get them something that you enjoy that you think they probably wouldn't know about is, I think.
Yeah, right. Especially if someone has like, you know, for Danielle, like you have an area of expertise.
Yeah.
So I don't think someone's going to from 10,000 feet be like, this is a gift that she'll like because I know it's adjacent to her area of interest. Be like, you know, come like somebody got me seasonings. And I was like, fuck yeah, I like that. They know awesome. I cook, but I don't. Right. They supported a local business from a seasoning shop like out in Oakland or whatever and got me that. I was like, this is tight because yeah. this is some shit. And I wouldn't have thought to buy it. But it was something.
That's a great gift.
From the yeah. heart. I'm telling you, seasonings right now, underrated.
That's dope. I don't need another Rock t-shirt. Like, I know who the Rock is. I've seen The Rock. I know he's the only wrestler any of you know. I don't need another The Rock t-shirt in man size X4. My titties are not that big also. But thank you.
But you do need a Socko, like authentic Socko. To have.
Everyone needs a Socko.
Yeah.
What is something you think is overrated, Danielle?
Okay, so here is, it's connected to my overrated, because this is, again, just a creature comfort that made me really happy. White towels, white washcloths, white linens, because I think it's one of those things where when you become an adult, and I'm very much doing a lot of, like you said, like we're all in the house trying to make it so that like I'm looking at things that make me happy because I'm here. And I feel like we've all been kind of indoctrinated in this idea that like a white bedding is what adults have, you know, like white, you know, all those, like that's the stuff adults have. And it's like, I got these floral grandma linens. And when I tell you they make me so happy to look at, like I smile every time I come to bed. It's amazing. And I know that it just like, I feel like I walk into a lot of adults' bedrooms and they look like hotels and like, that's dope. But for me, I just think that that whole thing is like, you don't have to prove to anyone anymore that you're not going to spill all over your bed, you know?
Right. Yeah, to me, it's too much anxiety. I have pets and shit. You know what I mean? I'll smoke weed near a bed. I don't want to, you know, no. And plus, you have to bleach that. I get the one thing that people say. It's like, well, it's easy because you just bleach the shit out of it and the shit looks blinging every time. But that's too, you know, it's on your way to dirty, like fucked up, pristine sheets that will have me too out of my shit. So I like always like off white or, you know, colors for my bedding.
Also, it's like I wear makeup and I'm brown. So every time I use like when I've been in hotels where I've had to stay with people when I do comedy, I literally have to do the speech of like, look, I wear makeup. My skin is brown. If you see a brown washcloth in there or a white washcloth with brown stuff on it, it is because I washed my face. It's not because I doo-dooed all over the place and just left it hanging out for you to fucking find. It's because I am a brown person who wears brown makeup, and that's how it's going to come off on this towel.
I think I read early on, like in a novel or like a character description somewhere, that where it was like, dark sheets were equated with some sort of like, I don't know, like questionable lifestyle. I can't remember where I read it. Maybe it was like a Michael Crichton book or something, but it was like, you know, they have like dark sheets. So you know what that means.
Reason.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. I don't think I totally internalized that, but that's a weird thing to give a shit about.
Especially for like, see, because it's an airport book. That means that like so many people have read it, and that's where your parents get the idea that if you don't have white sheets, you're doing shit you don't need to be doing.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, where did you pick that up, Dad? I don't know. But God, Crichton, you worried? Yeah, you worried about this frog DNA just getting loose everywhere?
Oh man. By the way, my kids are getting super into dinosaurs right now.
Jurassic Park ought to fuck them up though.
Yeah. We haven't watched it, but I got them a book that I didn't realize, but is like basically SpawnCon for the upcoming Jurassic Park movie where like the dinosaurs have escaped into the world, which I'm super excited for. But like there's pictures where like a Mosasaurus, the underwater dinosaur, is like swimming underneath a bunch of surfers and shit. And
oh, like, whoa. Shit.
So,
oof, that'll connect some. What was that, 9 when Jurassic Park came out? I was like, okay, buddy, you're telling me they got dinosaurs over here?
I saw that so many times in the theater.
Let's go back to the 90s, like we've been saying.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about what is happening.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
And we're back. So the Republicans are a party in our country that is having a tough time. Mm-hmm. They're, Miles, you put it that they're construction paper masks that they've been wearing for the last, I guess, century have like just burned off and we see who they really are now.
I mean, most people saw Pat. They're like, that's a lizard with a construction paper mask trying to appear right. as a human slash right. not white supremacist. And now that white elites have felt the threat of white supremacy, they're like, oh, my God, who are these yeah. people I worked with? And yeah, they're having a bit of they're at an inflection point as a party trying to figure out where to go. From here, do they lean fully into the mob? Do they try and, you know, completely remove Trumpism from the party? I mean, let's be real. Like, it's still kind of the same thing. It's just that you're yeah. branding a certain thing as Trumpism. But until they're like, I hear them out here being like, you know what, man, we need to talk about reparations, actually. Then right. I will think maybe something's happening. Until then, it's all fucking PR, just mask switching for them. So I think the biggest things that are coming out this week are, you know, the division that's occurring in light of the forthcoming accountability that will be hitting the Capitol hopefully, fingers crossed. But with Mitch McConnell and Liz Cheney basically chucking deuces at Trump, we're starting to see that the establishment is trying to figure out a way to like cleave themselves away and try and reassert control before the mob version of the party basically becomes the dominant force. And so Mitch McConnell, he came out and said he is, you know, quote unquote, pleased by the impeachment proceedings and says that he believes that the president did commit impeachable offenses. But that's a lot different than him saying, I will vote to convict the president in a trial in the Senate. You know, in the news, they say Mitch McConnell's an institutionalist and he really cares about his legacy. So this is no surprise that he's drawing the line here. Now, I don't know if that is them trying to be nice and act, completely ignore the fact that this dude is fucking Mitch McConnell, who TM of trademark copyright. He's been this fucking goon for a minute. Or if they're trying to remind him that, like, do the right thing. Either way, it's a very just, I don't know, shallow gesture from Mitch McConnell to just say he's pleased and not to say which way he's going to go. Because if he does say he's going to vote yes, then I think it becomes much more realistic that we'll see 67 senators vote to remove the president.
But everything he does is very specifically, you know, you can be sure that he said pleased instead of I will vote to convict for a very specific reason. He's like staying right in the middle. He's saying that the president committed impeachable offenses, but he's also saying he's not going to bring the Senate back until after Biden is in office.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, he's just leaving the wiggle room, leaving it open.
Which is dangerous because it's a weird game to play, because on one hand, if anything fucking happens involving the president and his supporters, I would say there's a very high chance of that. This looks very bad for them to sit down and be like, I don't know. It'll be fine. Don't worry. Nothing's going to happen. He's committed to a peaceful transfer of power. If that doesn't actually end up happening, that nothing happens, or that things do happen, they're in a tough position. The other thing is, too, if he's stalling, based on how the Department of Justice is talking about these investigations, there could also be something where, you know, Mitch McConnell, it does benefit him to have Trump disqualified from ever being able to hold office again, because he already had to cede power to this guy before. Mitch McConnell used to be the dude running everything. So on some level, I'm sure for his own calculus as a power hungry turtle, he wants to make sure that this man can't run for office. And possibly if these investigations are as, you know, or the things that they're uncovering are as despicable as we think they are, then maybe he's just creating enough momentum for the senators to get in line. So by the time there is a Senate trial, they're like, bro, you can't argue with any of this shit. Like, seriously, this is all bad. But either way, it's slow motion and people's lives are still at risk. And this coup attempt is still ongoing. We still don't know what happened with who and who was doing what and where all this money was coming from to bust people out or help people subsidize their travel for this insurrection. So,
yeah, you pointed out a hashtag earpiece on Twitter, that rabbit hole that I disappeared down late last night. But yeah, it's just a lot of people who look like, you know, experienced operators in a lot of cases, not exclusively. They like kind of blend in with the crowd of people who are just milling around like they're at on a Capitol tour. But then there's a lot of dudes with earpieces. There's video from inside the Capitol where people have like schematics and they know where things are. There is a Trump supporter who had like specifically threatened violence in the past, who says that there are three GOP lawmakers who had specifically like coordinated with them.
Helped. And even then, there's even representatives in the House that are saying they saw Republicans giving people tours the day before inside the Capitol building, that they described it as reconnaissance tours. And I forget her name. She's from New Jersey, but she is a former, I believe, Navy or Air Force officer. So for her to use that language is very specific. It's not just like someone who is outside of that world and like, it was recon. Like, no, as someone who is familiar with the military, is like, it felt like a reconnaissance operation.
Mm. Super producer Anna Hosni said Mickey Sherrill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you look and you see some of the images and you see that a guy showed up like one of the few people in masks showed up with like zip ties. You know, that's obviously, you don't.
Flex cuffs. We have to call them flex. There's a whole semantic argument happening now because like everyone has zip ties, but you're like, well, not those. Those are flex cuffs.
Mm. Right. Sorry. Okay. So he had flex cut. Well, no, but that's true. But it's also like, look, like I go everywhere and I have like a ring of keys just because I'm like queer. But it's like there's a difference between, you know, the difference between like a ring of keys and like something that's to hurt somebody. And right. It's a lot of, you know, even AOC said, I watched some. Did you get a chance to watch that live?
Certain clips of it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So she said that, you know, there's a lot of stuff that she's not allowed to talk about, but it was very obvious to her as well that this was a planned attack. This wasn't just, you know, obviously you're on Twitter. What you're going to do is you're going to start dunking on people because that's what we do, even when it's a really bad idea. And even when all it does is boost these people's profiles. So you start dunking on all of the people who are dancing on things and, oh, somebody, you know, somebody shat all over the walls and ha ha, it's so funny. But the people who know what they're doing are going to use those people as cover so that they can do the things that they're actually there to accomplish. And, you know, all of these places are getting shut down. Some of the stuff we'll talk about later. But it also means that now, luckily, hopefully, obviously, like now, I feel like a lot of the things we used to take for granted after watching that, like, I feel like I can't as much anymore. So now I'm going to say, hopefully, the people whose jobs it is in the intelligence community to now know where these rats are fleeing to are in those places now, because right. They can no longer plan things on Parler where just like any comedian on Twitter can go on there and be like, look at what they're doing, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. And even with McConnell, I just want to point out the media is doing a really good job of letting him get away with all this shit, as if this dude did not acknowledge the election results until mid-December. So he's just as guilty of allowing the, quote, big lie to get momentum and be spread quickly and in within the Capitol building out loud from elected members. That's being overlooked as well. But, you know, this is how this shit goes. There would be some people who are just play the game just smart enough to somehow everyone forgets all the shit they did and people keep it moving. And hopefully most people won't forget. Liz Cheney, though, too, she's the number three Republican in the House. Mm. And she has a tremendous amount of influence, not to mention her dad is fucking Darth Vader. but her, like the state of Wyoming where she's representing, that went to Trump 70%. Like, she's from fucking Trump country. And she came out against the president. And so her saying this isn't like, it's not like she said this from a crystal store inside of Berkeley or some shit. She's from like the fucking Wyoming area saying, quote, the president of the United States summoned this mob, assembled the mob, and lit the flame of this attack. Everything that followed was his doing. Then said, there has never been a greater betrayal by a president of the United States of his office and his oath to the Constitution. Again, I see you, Darth Vader Jr., and you're doing a great job because you see a power vacuum and you're just trying to reassert this more corporatocracy version, plutocracy, Republican Party again, rather than like the rabid conspiracy theorist people. So, you know, we see you. And it's nice that you've, again, people conveniently find their conscience when the chips are really down and as a means to survive. But yeah, she's really does. Again, you're seeing the people who are really smart within the party trying to be like, when am I going to play my hand? Nah, let's see if I can do that. Because at the end of the day, like the old school game is if you're friendly with corporations, that means you can keep all that PAC money flowing. And right now the establishment people see that this conspiracy theorist version of the party is fucking up the corporate donation flow. So they're going to be like, okay, then we have to really switch it up. I know everybody excused the overt white supremacy for decades, I guess, until now. So now let's kind of switch it up and be like, this was so bad. It's all bad. We got to get them out. This is not us. So please keep your donations flowing.
Look, when you lose Axe body spray and they have to denounce you.
Lights out.
That is tough.
Yeah,
they had been counting on that. All their projections had Axe body spray support going well into the future. There's also reports that like from CNN reporter Jamie Gangle that members of the House GOP caucus are being scared and intimidated by the president under tremendous pressure from Trump. Basically, you know, they are looking at the things that happened to the Capitol and are like, that those people are, like you said, they didn't realize that they could be the target of this shit. And because they're cowards now, you know, they're cowards, which is how they ended up being in a position where they were, you know, trying to benefit and profit off of white supremacy. And now that they're cowards, they're scared, you know, they're too scared to cross the president.
Or, you know, the DOJ was saying, too, they've also enlisted the help of corruption prosecutors, because they're like, we have to start connecting dots. It can't just be that these people were like so racist. And in a lot of the people, in a lot of cases, it's true. But there is an amount of coordination going on that they're like, this reeks of something much darker than just like these people. Like, no, there is. So that they're actually looking at it from that perspective, too, because there's some Republicans who realize the jig is up. You know what I mean? Like, it's done. This shit ain't going to help you anymore. In fact, it's fucking you up. And, you know, the clock is ticking probably on, you know, however much longer you can stay in office. But then there's this group, the Sedition Caucus people are still fucking all like the Matt Gaetzes and the Jim Jordans and shit. What's their stake in this? You know what I mean? Because now I get it. Maybe this, you know, they truly are the fascists that they're saying that they are, or exposing themselves to be. But like, are there other dimensions? Like, what is the evolution that they got to this point?
What is Jim Jordan's end game? I know Matt Gaetz's end game is to try and marry Tiffany Trump, I think. But Jim Jordan's, like, what are you hoping to accomplish?
It's always an interesting game when you have to figure out, find the grift, because a lot of them, this was it for years.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, obviously this has been going since beyond Gamergate, and people keep bringing up Gamergate, but it is a good example of when all of this started kind of coalescing. And you see, like, these people, they come into the media, they grift, they get a whole bunch of money, and then it's gone in like 2 seconds because of different things. And so it can't possibly just be that they want to be on Trump TV, right? Like, what is the next kind of money making grift for any of them?
Right. Probably to just be like, you know, do Patriot Patreon and be like, y'all, they canceled me out of existence. I need your help, Patriots. I need $3,000 a week to be able to fight the fight against, you know, like, whatever. That seems to always be the language they pivot. I'm being destroyed by the liberal mobs, you know, like Dan Bongino, Gino was like, I'm bankrupt because I put way too much money in Parler. He's like, I'm done, y'all. I'm bankrupt. And I could see that probably was his end game. He probably thought, oh boy, Trump's out. Parler is going to be where it's at. Some motherfucker wants to come in and monetize this shit, and I'm going to have this huge stake in it, and I'm going to clean up, cut to. Because I think at the end of the day, it is money for people. But that's why I'm so curious. Like, who are the straight up, you know, these 3% or oath keeper types who are just like hell bent on, you know, bringing to reality this weird ethno state that they keep seeing in their mind? And how many people are just like, I don't know, I was just going with the momentum of the likes on social media. And I was riding that, and I didn't realize it was just ends up into a shark's mouth.
I retweeted a birds rights activist tweet last night, because it was just very funny. It was like those tiny bird prints in the wedding cake were not me. They were Antifa, but in the adorable way that Katie writes as birds rights activist. And somebody replied to that and was like, okay, isn't it possible, like, that Q shaman dude has been arrested for as part of Antifa activity before? And so I just, like, you know, did a very quick Google, found at the very top a Reuters article debunking exactly that, and posted it and was like, where had you heard that? And his response was, do your own research. Dude. And the media never lies about. Yeah, that's what I'm just like. It's just beyond the point of like reason at this point. It's like,
the logic is completely burnt out now. And now it's, you know, because now you have people saying Ashley Babbitt was a plant. QAnon shaman is Antifa. Anyone who was caught is not them. Uh-huh. So. But then those people are trying to reassert that they are not anti. They're like, no, come on, y'all. This is me. I'm a patriot, too. that they can't for a second see that. So eventually it would just consume itself in some weird way. But yeah, it's, I was just even thinking, you know, like with people that are fully into this ideology, it's almost an interesting thought experiment to be like, what would happen to you? What would you do as a supporter of the president if the MAGA world said you weren't who you are?
Right.
How would you then prove that to them? Because these are your people. How would you, what tools do you have at that point? Like to even reason amongst yourself to be like, no, y'all, I'm 100% patriot. I'm not a crisis actor.
Well, there is nothing because it's, I mean, again, it's a cliche to say, but it's a cult. It's a religion. Like, or just at least that the way of thinking about it is there's no way because we are wrong and or like we are right and they are wrong. And therefore, if you did something that makes us look bad, then, you know, we're putting you out on an ice floe and there's nothing that you can do. And here's the thing is, even if you gave them that thought experiment of what would you do and how would you prove it? I would never do anything that would piss them. I would never do it because you're right.
Because I'm not Antifa. I don't have to worry about that.
I don't have to worry about it.
But that is an interesting idea too. I should have accused that person of being an Antifa plant who's making the argument of Trump supporters look stupid on purpose and see how he responded to that.
They're all playing a high-level game of Among Us, and it's just not going very well. Yeah.
That's right. All right, Antifa, nice try. All right. Real quick, since we're on the subject of Parler and Dan Bongino, JM kind of did a dive into the conversation that's happening back and forth after Parler was shut down and Amazon Web Services decided to stop hosting their servers. And this was not like a brave stand that they took after the Capitol riots. It was a situation where they had a backlog of 26,000 reports of objectionable content, including examples of graphic calls to violence against tech CEOs, against school teachers and professional athletes. Specific dates and targets for that violence and threats to shoot police officers in the head. And the FBI's defense for not distributing a formal intelligence bulletin about the plans to attack the Capitol, which were all over Parler and they knew about, and anybody could have, like, that whole hack that people were talking about was done on using an iPad. And it was done
so easy.
The person who did it was like, oh no, it was not a hack. That is the information they made available. Like that's what was out there. Like anybody could have done it. But the FBI claimed that they couldn't act on it because of concerns that the material FBI analysts were examining on social media amounted to protected free speech, which is something they've always been very aggressive about protecting exclusively when it's in favor of white supremacy.
Right.
But yeah, it's not a situation where Parler was just another website. Like they don't have any actual employees or even automated programs regulating their content like Twitter does, and instead they rely on volunteers to moderate posts.
So Parler was basically like that kid's basement whose parents were never
exactly.
home.
Exactly. Right. Yes, exactly.
Woo! Except all those kids got guns and bad ideas.
And like that kid's basement, Parler became full of porn. Like that was something that the Washington Post reported. They were like, you can search sexually explicit terms and it's just all sorts of just things.
Cool
that,
stuff.
Yeah.
That's what the Washington Post. This basement's fucking sick. They got everything.
Yeah, except unlike the Capitol, it's also covered in shit because, like, wasn't that one of their problems, too? They had to, like, regulate. Literal shit posts. They had to, like, regulate. One of their first anti-free speech things was that people would send pictures of their shit as replies, and they had to be like, please don't send pictures of poop when you reply to other people.
Yeah.
Even your own poo? Yes, even your own poo. That's like, was the thing. It was like, yeah, but it's our poo. Okay, sure.
I created this. It's my baby.
The things they were doing in terms of security, like if you posted on Parler, it would generate a number that was like sequential. So if I posted and then you posted a second later, my post would be like 5,000,001, yours would be 5,000,002. So that enabled people to just figure out what the URLs were for all posts and organize it neatly. Whereas like in web design 101, the very first security step you take is randomizing those numbers. But they did not even take that. It was like a geolocation site.
It was all lazy. They're even using like Okta, that platform a lot of companies use. And they were using a trial version.
No, it's not WinRAR, you guys. Eventually, you have to pay for it.
WinRAR. Oh my God. UnRAR for my Mac people. Yeah. My torrent gang out there. Shout out to Pirate Bay.
Gang, gang.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
And we're back. And before we get to important Harry Styles updates, we wanted to just check in with Fox. I always like to check in with Fox when things like this are happening that would seem to challenge the cognitive dissonance that they seem to be able to live with on a moment-to-moment basis. Fox and Friends, I don't know, they're getting, they seem to be, like, that reality seems to be trickling in.
They're starting to use some seasoning on their white supremacy cooking over there because it's getting spicy a little bit. I didn't know. I thought they were always just lockstep with each other, throat in the boot, being like, yeah, we love we love everything the president's doing. But now I guess Steve Ducey, look, I'm always curious to know what happened for all these people to find their conscience suddenly. Like, it's obviously some kind of threat to their money. Because it's the only thing I believe is the only thing they actually worship is their material comfort. But Steve Ducey, basically, and him and Brian Kilmeade have had a little bit of back and forth over what exactly happened last week. Was it a attack? Was it this? Is BLM just as bad? And this is an interesting, let's just listen to these two guys just really sort their feelings out.
Because, Brian, you're talking about people who work in the Congress. And we're talking about the Congress was under attack last week. It was looted. There was a riot.
So was Portland every day, and nobody cared on the left.
Brian,
those people have lives too, just because they don't have medallions to go through metal detectors every day. All the state houses and the police houses that were ransacked, and nobody cared?
I don't think what they were doing in Portland was trying to overthrow the
police stations.
The democracy of the United States of America. Brian, I get it. And there is some equivalency when you look at the fact that they were both attacks and they're both protests.
Riots, right.
But this was essentially, and some people have used, the people on the political left say the president incited this. The president is the one who said, come to Washington, let's have this big thing. It's going to be wild. And it was wild. Mitch McConnell and also Kevin McCarthy are trying to figure out how to punish him because they say he has gone too far.
I mean, it's also that, like, let's not forget Fox and Friends. Y'all were also at hand in it. So for Steve Ducey to be like, I mean, it was all of them. Can you believe this? Which is everybody just trying to leave the other party with the bag right now. So a lot of hot potato going on right now.
The fact that his summary of it was, he said it's going to be wild, and it was wild. that is one of the, yeah.
And Brian, you just want to say it was a vibe. That what to call that a vibe is just a very disingenuous, euphemistic description of what we saw. That was wild. It wasn't a vibe. It was wild. And I just want to say that.
I love that Brian Kilmeade is like, well, if they could have, they would have. But one group of people actually went to the place where it could have happened, and one group of people did not. But just the idea of like, well, if they, I mean, they could, they would have if they could have. There's so much just, I know you are, but what am I, that is happening in that clip, and I can't handle it.
Because at the end of the day, none of them can actually get to the root of it, which is, what is this saying about the people on each side? And let's try and understand what they're fighting for or against. And if we sincerely analyze that, it would be so clear this has nothing, they're not the same in any way. You know what I mean? In any way. But because that would completely give, like, they would vaporize like some Star Wars Jedi ghost or some shit. If they're like, you know, Brian, I think it's because of white supremacy. What's happening to me? They just can't do it because it's like it always has to be a very inaccurate, disingenuous analysis of what the other side is doing for any of their arguments to hold.
Well, they spent so long saying that Black Lives Matter was preaching, you know, some people were saying black supremacy. They were spending so long saying like they're trying to ruin the government and overtake everything. And then when you have these people literally having a party on the steps and climbing up the walls like Link trying to get to Ganon, like you said, then that's just like a bunch of people, like you said, having a vibe. Man, that's just a tailgate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's just funsies. That's just
a real thing. Tailgating
the end of the democracy. Yeah,
dude, it was a vibe gallows. It was a vibe noose.
The gallows was, those is were for vibe ring
pipe
toss.
Bombs. Those weren't pipe bombs. They were vibe bombs. Okay. And I think we're just being really, it's just so funny. Like even watching these Republicans debate right now in the House about over impeachment, it almost like looks like if there was like a cat burglar defending themselves in court, like with a ski mask on, like addressing the jury and be like, I mean, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, what's next? You know, truly that burglary will be illegal. And it's like, are y'all for real right now?
It's just bants, you guys. It was just banter.
Oh, my God. Oh, fuck. For the bants. Oh, my God.
It's all for the bants, you guys.
That, yeah.
That was mm-hmm. That was a banter noose.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, countdown to those really weird explanations. I'm sure we'll be encountering those very soon. Okay. Especially because, look, I'm sure we're going to learn a lot more about a lot of people in the Congress. Yeah. Over these next, if these investigations are as, you know, severe and serious as they're trying to make it seem, whether or not that's a PR thing to be like, oh, we're going to get them. And by get them, I mean, tell them, make them promise they'll never do it again and they can keep their guns. Mm. We'll see what that is. But it definitely seems like people are shook across the Capitol again, because for the first time, they were like, oh, shit, white supremacist violence could also consume white people? That? Huh. Okay, so we might have to do something about this, because I thought it was just for, you know, the others. Ooh.
All right, let's talk about Harry Styles. The last time we touched the Harry Styles, I wish. The last time we touched on Harry Styles and his new relationship with Olivia Wilde, or at least them being spotted out in public together, canoodling, as the press would say. We didn't really know what was going on. Like, we apparently at that time, people were reporting that Olivia Wilde and Jason Sudeikis had separated months earlier. And so I just assumed like, oh, so it was a known thing that they were no longer together. But now it's coming out that like Jason Sudeikis is like heartbroken and is like, I'm hoping that. This is,
look, I'll come out and say it, bro. He was straight cucked by Harry Styles, dude. Right. I'm sorry, bro. Sudeikis, come on, buddy. I'm all jokes aside, this whole thing in Us Weekly, the way they describe it, because again, I was worried about my man Jason Sudeikis.
Me
the
too.
Guy, everybody knows him famously from dancing in the background of the What's Up With That sketches. and I don't know if he's done much after that, but I obviously honor that work. And in this interview, the source has revealed, quote, Jason's had no option but to step back and let Olivia do her thing. But he has his fingers crossed that this is just a phase and that Olivia will snap out of it, or that Harry will get bored and move on before too long. Sudeikis is desperate to get her back so they can, quote, repair their family.
Oh, that, see, this
I didn't
is
know
bad,
that.
Yeah, this is bad timing, too, because everyone loves Ted Lasso right now, which is the character that Jason Sudeikis plays, who is like the most human, sweet person in the world. Right. And, you know, no spoilers for the season, but it's just like, this is a terrible time to be mean to Jason Sudeikis, because we all have already wanted to hug Ted Lasso, and now we want to just hug both of him with mustache and without.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, this sounds like, what do you think has happened here? He said he has no option but to step back, and as if he's being like, you can't do this, Olivia. We got to work on this. Right, come on, the kids. And she's like, I'm sorry. I'm with Harry Styles right now. I don't think
you understand. Do you know who Harry Styles is? Have you ever met him? Because he's like,
yeah, that motherfucker. He came to my bachelor party. I don't know. So I just hope, I didn't know. I hope this isn't salacious. But you know, my heart goes out to them. And if you know, but look, if Olivia wants to do her thing, she got to do her thing. Sorry, you know, once you go Brit, Americans ain't shit. I think as the saying goes.
Is that a saying?
No, just I just made that up for now.
It's probably a saying somewhere.
Ought to be.
I mean, it depends on what century you're in, right?
Yeah.
I think that phrase will mean different things over the years.
I actually met Jason Sudeikis like early on in his career. I was like on set of that movie, The Ten, the David Wayne movie.
Yeah.
And it was like the one scene. It was the day that was like the one scene Jason Sudeikis was shooting. And he was just like the most down to earth, like nice guy. I just like sat with me while he was waiting for his shot and was just chilling like a very normal dude.
Yeah. Back in my old job at Condé, when I used to make like just go to junkets and just make like celebrity viral content, there was a video I did. What was the movie? He was in that movie, when Anne Hathaway is like the monster and shit. You know what I mean? That be fucking up the town. Isn't Sudeikis in that?
Colossal?
I believe so. Is it Colossus? Colossal? Something like that.
Okay.
But it's very good.
Colossal. Really like it. Yeah, it is. Yeah, okay. So I was a junket for that film, and he had like some dope. He's a sneakerhead. And I remember just identifying his sneakers. I'm like, oh, those are dope, blah, blah, blahs. And he was like, oh, and then he saw my kicks. He legitimately had a conversation with me for 5 minutes. Junkets, Danielle, you know, them shits, like, if you eat up too much of your time, the publishers will be like, I'm sorry, y'all, you killed too much. You spent 5 minutes key-keying about Nikes. So I'm sorry, but that we have to keep it moving. He straight up vouched for the conversation to the studio public, everyone being like, No, we need more time. We were talking at the beginning, and I don't want them to not like miss their time. And I was like, Sudeikis?
Oh,
damn, bro. Ain't nobody ever done that for me in a junket. Oh my God. And so, you know, that's why I think I have another layer of investment in this saga.
Yeah.
Who knows? He could be a piece of shit, you know. He could be, who knows, but
I've also met Harry Styles at a 1-year-old's birthday party, and one of the most charming human beings that you've ever witnessed. Like, the whole world stops when he walks into someone's backyard. So I'm Olivia just saying, Wilde, I understand, like, Olivia,
you got something good and you got something real good, I guess.
Yeah, and you're Olivia Wilde, so you get your choice.
So like, go off. All I know is just keep the little morsels out so we can follow this story.
All right. And then Lord of the Rings, the series on Amazon, which is not something I've been tracking, but they have kind of released the first description of what the series is going to be. And Miles, you're pumped. You're excited.
I mean, I liked the Lord of the Rings movies. Always was interested when this was announced. Like, what is this going to be? Will it be good? What's it about? Who's in it? What it is? I don't know. Daniel, what about you? How did you feel when you first heard about this? Is this not really your bag?
Well, so I'm trying to remember, when I first started covering this, because I feel like we've been talking about this for like, almost like since the end of like The Hobbit and stuff like that. Like, this has been in and out of development, it sounds like, I feel like, for a really long time. So I go in and out of being really pumped and then being like, is this actually going to happen? And then being really pumped. So now that it looks like we've got a description, so that's something.
Yeah.
If it's following the second age, man, I'm totally in on this. Like, it sounds like that's what this is going to be. I am completely in, because I love Lord of the Rings and I love all the stuff. And if they do it the right way, then I'm super, super stoked. I just am still, this is one of those, properties where I'm very much, I will believe it when I see it.
Right, exactly. As they say, it will take viewers back to an era which great powers were forged, kingdoms rose to glory and fell to ruin, unlikely heroes were tested, hope hung by the finest of threads, and the greatest villain that ever flowed from Tolkien's pen threatened to cover all the world in darkness. I'm like, okay, yeah, okay, I like all this. So they're saying, from the darkest depths of the misty mountains to the majestic forests of the elf capital of Lindon, to the breathtaking island kingdom of Numenor, to the furthest reaches of the map, these kingdoms and characters will carve out legacies that live long after they are gone. So it's flowery, but sort of like half specific, but it still gets me excited, to your point.
It does kind of sound like a wrestling promo when you say it like that. Like The Rock is telling you all of the different places he's going to go to kick your ass. I'll kick your ass in the Misty Mountains.
Right, exactly.
Or like one of those mobile games, like ads where the person's like doing a fake old-timey voice. So as somebody, pretend that I don't know shit about Lord of the Rings. What, this is like before even The Hobbit happened, before any of this stuff? This is like pre-prequel?
Yeah, this is like pre-prequel. I'm gonna say it on it, like, I'm not like a Stephen Colbert, like, I know some of this stuff, but like, I'm not like a huge, like, I didn't read a lot of the books. I love Lord of the Rings, but I'm like one of those where I want it in a movie. I don't want it in 80,000 pages. But I do believe that this is like kind of the rise and fall of man is what we're talking about if we're talking about the second age. And someone's going to correct me, and I'm probably wrong.
But yeah. So this is based on a separate Tolkien work that takes place in Middle Earth?
I don't think this is based on anything.
Oh, really?
Because I think it's based on just like things that they talked about in
Lord of the Rings.
In
like
the lore. Yeah, like the lore. This is almost like how they were talking about, which I don't think is going to happen now, but the Game of Thrones series, where I think there might be some books on that one. But, and again, someone will correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe that this is based on like a specific book or series. I believe this is just based on like stuff that they've talked about and that they're going to pull out of the books.
Mm. It's just funny because, you know, it's like the come up of Sauron, basically, and like him fighting the elves and shit. But I just like the idea of like a show called Young Sauron. Whatever that's about. Like, I don't know. Like, fuck it. I can do some comedy.
It's like him with his family. You know, he was an awkward kid growing up.
Right.
But look They're at like, him now.
Sauron, you didn't replenish the Diet Cokes again. Did you see that clip on Reddit?
No.
Do we replenish in this house?
What?
What
is this? It's this clip on Reddit where this like it's like this, these parents are yelling at their kid like playfully ribbing their kid for not replenishing like the Diet Cokes in the basement refrigerator, and they're like, "What were you doing?" It's like, "I only had one." He's like, "We replenish in the goddamn it!" Like, and the dad is like totally going over the top with it, and then it cuts to the dad calling his brother, and he's like, "Bobby, what happened? What did we do when we were growing up? If you took something out of the refrigerator, what did you do?" And like, on, it's on speakerphone, and like the guy's like, "Oh, we replenished." And he's like, "Exactly, we fucking replenished." Like this whole concept of replenishing the refrigerator. So, it's a nice piece of distraction for y'all. I know we didn't get to tweets we liked, but I had to just stream of consciousness remind myself of that
Let
video.
Know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Danielle, it has been always is such a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist.
Yes.
Where can people find you and follow you?
You can just find me on Danielle Radford on Twitter. You can find me at Danielle, I think it's _Danielle_Radford on not Facebook. I'm not there. Don't find me there. I'm probably there. I will not accept your friend request. I am never on Facebook. It's not you, it's me. But you can find me on Instagram. Most of the stuff that I'm doing, you can find if you go over to Twitter, but you probably know me from Honest Trailers. Watch those. We make them. They come out every Tuesday, and I'm really happy and proud of them, and I think that they're funny. So go check those out, and then everything else, just find me on Twitter. I'll tell you about it.
And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
There is. I don't want to give a name because it's kind of mean, so I don't want to say where it's from. So the Busset Challenge has been really big. For those of you who are not aware, it is a challenge that started on TikTok. It begins with the Nelly line, "I think my butt's getting big," and it's usually a woman in a robe with like a wearing like a bonnet, very chill. And then she drops down and then Busset plays and you can see her bussing it. So there's one where there's a woman who she starts out normal. And then when she gets down to Busset, she doesn't get down all the way and she's in an evening gown and she has a Bible and she just has the words reading and she's like doing it back and forth. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen those old SCCT TV shows where they would do like fake 3D where they would just put stuff into the camera. So she's doing it like that. And my favorite tweet was a quote tweet of that where the person just wrote, "Boo, get off the stage."
Damn.
And that's it. That was my favorite tweet this week. I've gone back and read it a million times.
Oh, TikTok.
Miles, where can people find you, follow you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Yes, I will tell you where to find me, but I first have to tell Zeit Gang where to find these deals, okay? Because the merch at TeePublic is popping-ton, okay? Popping-ton. It's popping off. You can get up to 35% off. Do you want a t-shirt? That's $13, okay? Did you get some shitty gifts that you didn't like from Christmas? Then just cop that Zeit Gang shit, okay? So go to TeePublic.com/TheDailyZeitgeist and get in on that whole vibe.
It is a vibe. Whole vibe.
It is a vibe. Promised. It's not a problematic insurrection. It's a vibe. Twitter, Instagram, Miles of Gray, also 420 Day Fiance, also Deckheads this week. If you want to hear me talk about Chef Rachel on Below Deck, she is a. I'm I'll tell you this. I don't want to hang out with her. She's a mess. But, you know, but I love to watch it. Okay, I'm not going to lie. So check that out. That's me, Super Producer Anna Jose, Nick Turner. You know how that goes. Some tweets that I like. First one is from Softboy at Softboy UK, tweeting, teaching six-year-olds via Zoom is so funny. I'll spend 50 minutes explaining a literacy task. And when I ask if they have any questions, they'll be like, do you have a cat? Love that. Another one is from at Megawatts55, Sailor Michael. He tweets, they didn't want to give immigrants toothpaste nor soap, but gave Jake his organic food. And isn't that the fucked up truth? They gave that motherfucker, Q Shaman was on a hunger strike because he said he could, his, he only ate organic food. If that ain't, whatever.
That is so
I don't have to explain that. If I have to explain that to you, unsubscribe. And the last one is from Snowbay at S-N-O-E-Y-N, tweets, you're so quiet. Thanks. I'm not comfortable around you.
Oh, man. I'm going to just retweet and pin that.
Thanks. I'm not comfortable around you.
Some tweets I've been enjoying. Dana Donnelly tweeted me after being on my phone for the whole movie. I just felt like it was really slow and confusing. the hype at the hype tweeted, you okay, bro? You've barely even cranked that Soulja Boy today. And Amy Silverberg tweeted, I've written a version of Air Bud that is so fucked up, so horny that anyone who reads it never recovers. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding out on today?
Okay. Also, Super Producer Anna Hosne pointed out, yes, also Muslims that were in custody were forced to eat pork. So, you know, they keep the organic food coming. And there's literally one America, and it's fucked up. This track is, you know, TikTok's been giving me some cool jams. I'm like, yo, what's this? And thank God TikTok has to tell you what the track is. I'm not having to hold up three phones being like, Siri, what is this? Or whatever the fuck I'm doing.
Right.
Using Shazam and shit. So this is from when I went on a Japanese TikTok rabbit hole. But this track is from Kaito Shoma, who is a Russian beat maker. And this track is called Scary Gary. And it's got like a DJ Paul from 36 Mafia sample over it. But it's so dark and like lo-fi. I don't know. This shit feels like what the inside of my mind after 2020 is like. So... you know, lift you some weights or work out to this one, because this one is for the intense people. Okay, so check this out.
You played this yesterday. It immediately went on my playlist.
Oh yeah,
for my kids.
Spooky beats. Yeah,
spooky beats to creep out the kids. All right. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production by iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get, but with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie.
Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.